This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And I ain't jump out of no airplanes.
Can I just throw this in here? Can we jump out of a plane? Ooh, that's something you want to do.
Yeah, I'll just take the video.
I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna meet you at the bottom.
Well, I was around the corner when she walked right in. High heels, short dress, he should have known right then. He walked over like, you the shorty I should be rocking. She told him, baby, I'm a dive. You need to get clocked in. She next level, eyes full of pride. She won't settle. No breaks, so she hit the road, foot to the pedal. No days off. I mean, that's all. Often offensive. She like the ball, like the park with the fences. Yeah, so her lifestyle get awfully expensive. She might dismiss it, but it's hard to resist her. Cause she's a boss.
Well, ladies, I have brought you a little something from the House of Athlete Apparel line that I wanted to share with you, so I hope you really, really like it.
Oh, thank
you.
Nice.
Thank you.
I already know it's super cute. Because you're so fashionable.
Thank you. But I know you all really, really wanted the tie-dye socks. So everybody has their own tie-dye socks.
Yay.
It's the big seller.
And look at the bag. Okay, bitch. I like this.
I love how versatile it is, too.
Well, the bag specifically, I like it because it's waterproof. So when you're sweating or whatever, you throw your clothes in there after a workout. Then
you put
can...
a lot of thought into it.
I did. So it's a tote, a shoulder strap, and like a shoulder bag. So.
I see that.
Thank you.
I'm going
to look up in here.
Right. I
want to
know.
You guys know.
Okay, with the tie-dye socks. That's
yes.
So cute.
Super cute. Thank you.
So this has been my little baby since pretty much the start of quarantine happened. So it's my first. I actually went to school for fashion merchandising, one of the things I went to school for. But I just started doing this recently, so it's my first venture
Kudos
out.
Kudos to you for using Thank your you. Degree, girl.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. So I'm really proud of it, so I hope
Good
you guys
job.
Like it.
Thank you.
Was it stressful trying to figure out?
You know, it was extremely stressful because it was during quarantine first, and I'm a mother of three, so we were all trapped in the house, so I couldn't really do my meetings like I needed to. I couldn't really talk to the people or go get the fabrics or just all the errands that needed to be done on top of being like a mom and a wife. Right. And
it's hard trying to
focus.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so tough. It's like a double-edged sword, right? Because you're a mom and you work outside the home, or like for me, I was working outside the home and in the home.
Yeah.
But I feel like for the guys, you're praised for your successes, whether or not you're in the home or not.
Right. Yes.
But as a woman, you can't neglect your home and still be successful. You
right.
have to be able to do both.
Right.
So it was tough just trying to figure out that dynamic because, like, my kids come first. I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
But I had to find time. Like, 10 o'clock at night I would work out because it was after they went to sleep. And then I would be responding to emails at 12 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? But it's the same for you. Like, you know, working and, you know, in real estate and everything. Like, how is that? How do you manage home?
Girl, it's crazy. I mean, I feel like I'm constantly going. And sometimes, you know, when I look back at my day, I'm like, I did a lot today. Like, I really bounced all around, you know, took care of them, got food made, got dressed, got to school, got the baby, waited for my mom to come because my mom's been helping me since we've been, you know, in quarantine.
Yeah.
Wrote back the emails, scheduling the listings, you know, just trying to stay organized. And I got the old school planner. Look, I'm still doing the paper planner, writing it out.
I'm a note
because,
taker too.
Yeah, I can't even do the phone. Mm-hmm. I get overwhelmed just with the bing bings constantly. Like, I have to really have my day planned out. And I feel like you have to be so organized to try to manage it all. And it's really like you feel like you're the point guard, you know, making sure that everything is in order. And you're right. I feel like we're expected to
I think you did really good at it, though. Like,
it seems seamless to me.
Right. Like, both of y'all killing it, for real. So.
Thank you.
The same goes to you, champion.
Right.
Well, you just won. What was the competition you just won?
So, yeah, I do bodybuilding, which I don't know where that came from. It was like,
but you're so good.
Well, thank you. But I mean, sometimes I have a little mom guilt about even doing that, you know, because you do kind of have to be selfish to do stuff like that. I mean, bodybuilding ain't putting, you know, food on the table, you know, but it's something that I'm passionate about. And I'm just thankful that, you know, I have the support at home so that I can do stuff like that. Yeah. But sometimes I do have mom guilt because I don't have all the energy to go and run around with my kids after training and, you know, meal prepping and everything that goes into it. So, you know, it's a struggle for me to just, you know, try to find things that, you know, make me feel whole as a woman, you know, and still do the things, you know, that I have to do at home, like as a wife and a mom. Right. So, but I look up to you guys, you know, y'all are killing it and, you know, I'm trying to find that balance. But yeah,
it's hard. What is it? Work-life balance. It's work-wife balance.
Right.
And speaking, I'm not a wife yet, but speaking of being selfish, I have an older kid, so I have to speak with them and let them know, hey, this is what mommy is doing. I don't want to struggle like how my mom struggled. So I'm going to have to put in those hours. I sit them at the table and let them know this is what I have to do. And sometimes I take them with me to show how much hard work I have to put in so they can get what they want and we can go on those nice trips. So
that's good, though.
Sometimes you do have to be selfish.
I think that helps, even with parenting. Yeah. Like, what is the vision? What are we trying to accomplish as a unit? You know, like, I want you to also want more, too. Because for me, I feel like, what's the point if you're going to get as far as I did? I want you to get further. Yeah, like, I want you to see what I'm doing and take it to a whole nother level. So I think it's cool to bring them in and let them see it.
You have to. You definitely have to.
And it's a grind. And sometimes I feel like they hear us talking about it, especially with real estate.
Exactly.
Because that's what we do, right? And it's like they hear us talking about it and showing the houses and, you know, and it seems like all glamorous, but no, there's so much that goes behind it. Sometimes I'm helping a client for months.
And sometimes you don't get paid.
Sometimes you don't get paid.
Okay, so you do real estate too?
Yes, I'm a real estate broker, so I own a real estate company now.
Okay, nice.
And both of you guys were in the military, correct?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know you were in the military.
Okay, both of you guys served in the military. Yeah. And I mean, actually, there's a lot of synergy here. There's like two real estate and then you guys in the military. And like, what was your background, Asia?
Television production.
Yeah.
I like to be back there with them. Yes, I like to be back there. See, I'm here now, but I like to be back there with y'all.
But I don't think I've ever had
this
conversation.
We all got layers, girl.
Like, what are the hats that you wear?
So, yeah, I have a degree that I don't use in animal science. I wanted to be a veterinarian, and then I met this guy, and I didn't go back to school.
Okay.
But I do have a degree in animal science.
Cool.
But, yeah. But I had to go serve my time in the Army. They wasn't playing. They didn't care about Phil. They were like, no, but you got to come do your time. Because I got an ROTC scholarship. Uh-huh. So I did 8 years in the Army.
8 years in the Army. Jeez. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Right.
For that.
Thank you for your service.
I mean, that's so boss. It doesn't, I mean, it like, I'm a tomboy or whatever, but like, it doesn't get more boss than that. To be like, I served in the military. Okay, yeah, I didn't.
And they say ugly women are in the military.
This one.
We serve.
Yes. Y'all looking good.
What branch were you?
Army.
Okay.
So I did 13 years. Okay. I medically retired. Okay. Two deployments to Afghanistan.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I'm obviously in the presence of Wonder Women. 13 years and two tours in Afghanistan. What in the world is that like? Like, what? I can't even imagine.
Right. So a lot of people don't know. I had a track scholarship. I lost my track scholarship. I got pregnant my 12th grade year. And I wanted a better life for my daughter. So it's crazy. I did a walk-on for basketball. I was partying too much. I was like, I don't want to live this lifestyle. So I ended up going to a recruiter, and I was like, I want to join the military. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
I told my grandmother, I said, I'm going to give you temporary custody. Don't tell anybody. Watch my daughter until, you know, I get to my first duty station. So the day I was supposed to leave to go to MEPS, I went to my mom's job. She was a nurse at the time. And I told her, I said, I'm leaving. Can you clear out my apartment? Same day. She cried, boohoo cried. Because if I would have told her before, she would have talked me out of it. So I dropped my daughter off at my grandmother's house, packed all her stuff, set up a little allotment, basically paying her, $600 a month at the time. And went through
basic AIT, and I was like, I want to get promoted fast. I want to be what they are. I want to wear the maroon beret. How do I move up fast? And at the time, my sergeant at the time, he was like, go airborne. Mm-hmm. I was very athletic, so I was like, okay, sign me up. Didn't know what the hell I was signing up for. But I wanted, it's definitely majority male.
Yeah.
But I wanted to stand out. So I went to airborne school, completed my 5 jumps, and they sent me to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, 82nd Airborne Division.
Okay, so what does that mean? Because I don't know.
It means you basically, you're a paratrooper. You jump out of airplanes. So
that's what you do all day.
Oh, my goodness. So,
no, that's yeah. They pay you $150 extra. Uh-huh. I was HR in the military. They pay you $150
extra.
HR
too, girl. Hey. Yep. Yep.
So basically jump out every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And that was just part extra, one of our extra additional identifiers. But my main job in the military was sitting behind a desk. And I was an administrative assistant for a general.
And I ain't jump out no airplanes.
Okay, so can I just throw this in here? Can we jump out of a plane? Ooh, is that child. Something that I want to do? Yeah, I want to do that.
I'll take the video.
I'm gonna say yeah. Y'all. I'm gonna meet you
so
at the bottom.
Take the video of us on the ground when we land.
Yeah. I'll be there. You take know, just
to they, okay, have well, you camera. And I can get together yes, and we can do it.
Yeah, yeah, y'all okay. do that. Y'all do that. Y'all right, do right. that.
We'll be there for you. Yay.
Yes. Oh, it's fun. I want to know what was your most or an. Ashley, too, like what experience in the military and the Army really just stands out in your mind?
Like, I would say, honestly, I went to a HBCU. I went to Tuskegee University, so I'm used to being around us.
Yeah.
So your junior year, after your junior year, you go to camp. And they send you to Fort Lewis. You go to, basically, it's like the basic training, but for officers. So you mm-hmm. go there for a month and they take your phone. Like you basically have
stripped.
Yeah. You don't talk to anybody at home or anything like that. You don't have no TV, nothing.
No makeup.
Nothing. They take everything. Yeah. And they basically, the point of it is to just, you know, see how you lead because they're training you to become an officer. So they want to, you know, they sleep deprive you and then they throw you out there and see what you do. So you need to know at any moment how many, you know, boots on the ground are there, who's in the infirmary. You know, you just have to know these numbers like wow. this, you know, at any moment. And me coming from an HBCU, now I'm here with all these other cadets, you know, I'm the minority.
Yeah.
So I'm not
only the minority, but a female.
Exactly. So now I'm sitting there and I'm getting, you know, these questions like, oh, why do black people like Red Lobster? Like really just crazy like questions. And like, I didn't know black people could tan and like all these crazy questions from like my fellow cadets, you know. And it was just very just like, whoa, because, you know, I went to high school, I would say, you know, a black high school, you know, then going to HBCU. So just being around all these white people and they're asking me these dumbass questions and I'm just like, what the hell's going on? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And these are supposed to be leading the country. You know, if I go to war, these are supposed to be
they're
the people.
They're supposed to have your back.
Exactly.
Right. Wow.
But you'll be surprised. There's a lot of racism in the military.
A lot of racism.
I wouldn't be surprised because there's a lot of racism in our neighborhood. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I can only imagine the type of mentality. I mean, like, I'm in real big into psychology, so I can only imagine the psychology of the people who join the military. And then, you know, good old boy type mentality and serving my country.
Absolutely.
And all that. I can only imagine what it was like for you guys as minority women.
It yes. was, and having a cute, I didn't mean to cut
no,
you
no,
off,
no,
having a
fine.
Cute face too, for yes. years,
yeah.
I got promoted fast. I made E7 in 7 years. So.
I'm sorry. Okay. That just brought something up. So we expect to get it from, you know, a hard time from, you know, men and, you
from
know.
From women?
Oh. Yes.
Minority women? Yes.
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 Yes. The minority, the
it,
other black
it was,
women.
It was worse. I had another female who came from another duty station and basically she tried to make my life live in hell. I was a single mother at the time, and
yep.
it was always...
I experienced that.
I didn't even answer to her, and it was always something.
My PMS took my scholarship my senior year, my last semester of my senior year. She took my scholarship for no reason, and it got so bad. She was trying the whole time, like, to find a reason to kick me out of the program. And if you get kicked out of ROTC, they put you in the Army as a private. And and you have to pay back all your tuition. So she was really trying to put me in a bad position. So she made
she's
up
a black
some.
Woman?
She was a black woman. And she made up some vague ass reason as to why she was taking my scholarship. And so she thought that ruined me, but she didn't know that I had a boyfriend that played in the NFL and he had a blank check ready. So I was in the classroom like, hey, I'm here, ready
good for
class.
You. It's bad. And it's like you're trying to compete for the next, but why? So right. you have to teach them. So I was once I became a senior non-commissioned officer, I took minority women up under my wing.
Good. Yeah.
This is how you lead, because it's basically if you don't break the cycle, it's going to continue on and on and on. This is how I was raised. This is how.
Why
I was
do you think
up.
That is? Why do you think it's like that?
It has to do with that person. Low confidence, low self-esteem, something or...
But it's a common, it's common.
It's
you experience,
it's, yes,
like,
it's common, but it's not
but
only
it's
common
not only in the military.
In the military.
Right.
It's common every, so in every
what
day.
What do you think that is, though?
And it's because us women, like a lot of us minority women, we don't like to compliment. You
they
have
don't
to, you have
like to,
break to it.
Lift somebody else
and
up.
You
know,
to.
It's like fix my crown.
Right. Yeah.
Don't knock it off my head. Right. Fix my crown.
Even on social media, you see... It's always us bashing the next one. When Chad posts a picture of me or if I get on the shade room somewhere, something
always.
Like just focus on yourself. Right. Uplift the next one. And you can, like my daughter, I teach her now because you have to teach them at a young age. If you don't go into the gossip. Don't talk about the next.
No.
One of the things I think was awesome about being in the military was being in charge of a large number of people that were white, that were older, that were men, and they had to listen to what I said. It made me a leader, and now I feel like I can go and do
in
anything
any
and lead.
That's the same with me.
Yeah.
Being in the 82nd, I had 6 male soldiers, and I was the only female in that, and they were young privates. Mm-hmm. They listened to everything. I was good in PT. I set the example and they followed. So they respected me.
That's like a dream come true to me. Like my goal, my ultimate goal, like my dream was to be a forensic psychologist in the FBI.
Oh yeah.
So like my background is in forensic psychology. It's what I went to school for. And I worked in the field fresh out of college, but like I like that rawness. I like you know, kind of like the of it all. Like I don't want to be the person behind a desk somewhere. Or, you know, that to me, like, kudos to you two, hands down.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll get to the FBI.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm maxing out
girl.
On my age though.
Right. Listen, we need to go to the gun range because I haven't been since we went long time ago.
I take all my agents. We we'll go to the gun range on Monday. So
I used to go every Friday.
That's
girls.
So cool.
I used to go every Friday. It was my gun range, my date night.
Well, we got to plan a day then.
We need to.
That would be fun.
And especially for us, being women in real estate.
It's true. It's true. I have my mace, but that might not be enough.
No, you need.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Yeah. I got my real estate license, too. So I'm trying to, like, learn from Asia. And,
really?
Yeah, she's taking me under her wing.
I've known you guys for years, and I've never known this.
Yeah.
I feel like we're too modest. Sometimes, you know, like, it's hard to share.
You got
to
brag about what you got, girl.
I know. It's true.
That's why I was so proud of Kamala Harris when she got into office. Because, you know, that is us not only lifting up, you know, the people from that are behind us and the people who are younger than us and like look up to us or her. It's also us edifying her. And not only is she educated and beautiful, but, you know, she stands for something and she has, you know, goals and ambitions and drive and all of that, that we, you know, have all of us aspire to be, you know, and I think she is a perfect, I mean, the first one was Michelle Obama, right?
Right.
I mean, that was like our first, like, oh my gosh, we could do this, you know? And then now there's, you know, our VP. And it just goes to show, like, we have a long way to go when it comes to lifting up other women and other women of color. And I mean, I spoke about it on another podcast we did way back when we were talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter and some of the other things and the reasons why sometimes it's so hard to, like, lift up another Black person or another minority person. It's like you're always trying to be better. Better than you always like it's always like this constant competition. Like I have to prove myself. I have to prove myself. I have to prove that I'm better than you. I have to prove that you're not worthy, but I am. And it's like this constant struggle to get to the top. And don't matter who you crush, you just step on other people, step on them. And I think this is just such a pivotal point in Black female minority.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Tea, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Erica, like, it's pivotal.
I agree. And if you think about it, it was also designed that way.
Yeah.
You know, when you go back in history and see how they compared us to each other and how light was better and and dark was looked upon with such a negative lens. And that plays itself out. We never got repair. You know, we never got the rehab that our community needed to be whole again. They still owe us that. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
And I think that what I love about Kamala is even in her acceptance speech, she added that there. Like, you know, I'm about to go and I won't be the last. You know, she made it so clear.
Yes, she did.
Like, I won't be the last. And I love when she said that. It did.
It really did.
I had a moment.
It's because I think about my daughter.
Yeah.
I think about my daughter, you know?
Yeah.
And like what that does for her. You know, I think about my mom and like what she had to experience, you know, being a beautiful, educated Black woman. My mom has a PhD. You know, and then I think about, you know, some of the stuff that I've been through. And then when she said that, it's like, this is my daughter. Like, this is who my daughter can look up to.
But do you think that this generation really realizes how, like, awesome it is that, you know, this is happening? Like, this, we're making history. Like, this is history. And sometimes I kind of feel like they don't really get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so.
It's up to us to put it in their head teach them.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way.
The significance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The significance of it.
Yeah. Listen, now I feel like Channing would be the best first, second husband. He's like, retire me. You know, now he's seeing these commission checks. He's like, oh, retire me. You know, go ahead, put that in the baby's college fund. But no, I love it. You know, I'm a graduate of Howard University. So for me, it's like, you know, I used to say the illustrious Howard University. Now I'm like the vice presidential Howard University. You know, but it's such a good feeling to see her there. You know, I feel like me and my kids watched it, me and my daughter watched, and just that, I don't know, it feels just bigger than me, bigger than us. You know, watching her up there just almost feels like heavenly. It's weird. It's weird. Or maybe it's not weird, but it's just a different feeling because you just didn't know if it could even ever be possible.
Yeah.
And to see it happen.
Do you feel like because so many people hated Trump. It was like the necessary evil. He was the necessary evil. And everybody just wanted him out of office was the reason why she became vice president.
I don't think it was the reason why.
It played a big part.
I think it played a big part. But, you know, set all that aside, she's a strong candidate. When she was up there in the primary, she held her own.
Yeah, I feel
like when you think about, like, who can battle Trump, who can go toe for toe, I feel like she represented herself
so well.
But some people don't like her because she was a prosecutor, but they don't know that was her job.
Yeah.
Right.
Some blacks do not like, she put everyone
in jail for...
But that was her job, to be a prosecutor. So mm-hmm. you can't say, oh, she tried, that was her job. Yeah. I mean,
right.
You can't
blame a lady for doing her job.
Exactly.
But there's so many other wonderful things that she did. So, you know, I would encourage anyone that feels that way to do their research, because sometimes you see, you know, one thing about someone that would make a headline, and now everything is clickbait. So it's like, oh, you know, she was putting black men in jail. You click, and I want to click on that. And they amplify that,
right.
Especially the radical right. That's what I like to call them. The radical right, because they just out of this world. But, you know, they amplify that, but not all the good things she did, you know. And she did a lot of good things. And now I feel like she's going to take us to another level. So I'm very excited for
I know. You. Well, I'm yes, getting you guys. So I'll get home. So we have I'm Speaking shirts for the I Am Woman podcast, which is today's episode. And that, as you know, is Kamala's quote. So that's available online. So I'm going to get you guys all that so we can have our I Am Woman, I Am Speaking shirts on. So here's a question. How is it living in the shadow of your significant other? Because, I mean, we were all girlfriends once. We were all fiancés at one point in time. Like, it, you know, it's just a progression. So what does that look like for you?
Even though I didn't go to vet school, I don't feel like I chose that. Like, that's what I wanted. And I don't ever feel like I, you know, was living in his shadow or, like, that I had to take a back seat.
You never feel that way, or he never made you feel that way?
I never felt that way.
Yeah.
I never felt that way. I mean, I chose to... I was ready to get the hell up out of Tuskegee. I went to Tuskegee University. It's in Alabama, in the middle of nowhere, and I was living my best life. At the time, he was playing for the Colts, mm-hmm. and I was like, no, I'm going to go over here to my man games and cheer for him. Yeah. So, you know, and I was still doing my own thing. Like, I started modeling. I got signed to Ford Models. So I was in New York. I was in Chicago. I was in L.A. I was, like, flying all around and then, you know, being able to go to his games and be there for him. So in my head, I was living, like, the good life. So I never really felt like I was, you know, putting my dreams aside to, like, be his support. I feel like he always supported me, you know, whenever, you know, he had the time, he would fly with me to go to New York or wherever. So I hear a lot of other women say that. They feel that way. I won't say that I couldn't relate, but I felt like, and I don't know if he was doing something that, you know, to help me not feel that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something I never felt in my experience of being an athlete's wife and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I think he supported me, but I also just kind of always did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
So, he was very supportive, though. I feel like anything you do, he would drop you off.
Yeah, he's like, you want to be a bodybuilder? All right. Okay. you want to get your real estate license? Okay, you know, like, what you want to do now? You know, he's kind of just like, all right, well, good luck, have fun, you know, do your thing, you know what I mean?
So, because you mentioned, like, it's really easy to kind of, not easy, but it's easier to kind of manage that work-life balance when you have the support of your significant other at home.
Yeah.
And they, like, either pick up the pieces or are picking up the slack or whatever the situation is and enabling you to kind of, like, go out and be your best self, right? What about you, Asia? Did you have any? Channing's super supportive of your real. I mean, he talks about it on the show all the time about how proud he is of you and what, you know, and, you know, he's like, you're a boss, you know, and he's proud of that. And so, like, been supportive.
We had a long time coming with that, too, though. Because when we met, I was working. You
mm-hmm.
know, when we met, I was working at the radio
mm-hmm.
station. So I was already doing that. And I think where the disconnect happened was once we got married and start having kids.
Yeah.
Now it's like, no, I want you to be at
home. He wanted you to stay at home.
Yeah, I want you to stop doing that and be at home. And so I felt like, well, you know, I want to be with the baby. So I kind of went along with it because I understood where he was coming from. I'm a first-time mother, you know, so I'm like, all right, let me do that. But it came a point, like a crossroads that we were at, that I was like, okay, well, now I'm ready to go back, you know.
And was it after retirement that the crossroads, or was it?
It was. Okay. It was. I feel like we were kind of having a tough time during that time because he was going through a change mm-hmm. with retiring, and his routine was changing. And now here I am on baby number two, and they were so close.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, now she's two. I feel like, you know, I'm ready to. I've been home for yeah. three
That's
and a half
like the
years
golden
now.
Year. It's yeah. a two.
Yeah, you know, I'm ready to slowly like get back into it. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? You know, how long will you be gone? You know, so now I'm dealing with, okay, well, I got to hurry up and get back home. So we had a little like, you know, I need you to let me breathe a little bit, you know,
yeah.
let me figure this thing out, because now I'm starting a whole new career, and it's a lot of work, especially when you're trying to get off the ground in real estate, you know.
Yeah.
Networking is important. Word of mouth is important. Mm-hmm. I got to try to get some clients into my funnel. How am I going to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, I have to now start rebranding myself, you know.
I was talking to Channing off camera, and I was like, I feel like, you know, I need to do stuff for myself, and I'm not communicating properly or whatever. And like Brandon threw a whole fit. And he was like, well, I threw a fit the other day because Asia was gone for like 2 days and I didn't know where she was. She had an appointment after appointment after appointment. And I'm like, where is my wife? He was like, we don't know how to act. We don't know how to act. We yeah. do not know how to act once you guys start going off and doing your own thing and like kind of not pushing back, but like doing your own thing and distancing a little bit.
Right.
It's like, he was like, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I mean, and then here, when I come back, the house is in disarray, you know?
Oh, like, everything.
The dishes piling up. The baby got
There's
the same
toys
diaper
everywhere.
On. Yeah, when I left.
I remember one time Brandon forgot to feed our child, our twins. I was like the one time I made it out of the house in 2 years, and I was like the first 6 months, I was going to work out, and I literally was coming back within 45 minutes. It was like around the corner, and I came back and I was like, did you give them their bottle? And he was like, I forgot. He was like, well, they didn't tell me. And they're 6 months old. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like everything just goes to shambles.
Right. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they survived.
So, poor baby. When I got back, the house looked a hot mess. And I was like, all right, well, let me just, you know. So then you put that hat on, you know. Yeah. And I got emails to send. So yeah. I just, you know, write that down in my agenda book. And let me hurry up, get the house together, and let me work back to that. But, you know, I think your original question was talking about the shadow.
Yeah.
You know. I feel like personally, like I'm an introvert, so mm-hmm. I don't mind being in the shadow. You know, like I like him to shine. I feel like he's my little social butterfly. And, you know, he likes to chat. He's a little bag of chat. All he want to do is talk. And, you know, I like let him do that. I'm okay with that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I never felt like threatened by that. I'm cool. You know, whatever you want to do with that. But I feel like when it came time for me to do what, you know, I was passionate about, to have those conversations and kind of have pull back on that, it's like, well, I'm always letting you do you.
Yeah.
You know, honey, like, let me do me. Like, give me a little. So it took a little bit, but he, you know, he's a little hard-headed, but at the end of the day, I think I think he always wants to make sure I'm happy. So it worked out.
I mean, it's fresh, so, but I feel like being with him has added on, you know, It has brought me up more, my business, more exposure. I see a lot of on the blogs or whatever. Oh, she's a gold digger, or she's just there for the bag. But little do they know, I had my bag before I met him.
There you go.
Built my own.
Speak on
legacy
it.
Yeah. Before I met him.
After I served
my 13 years, I opened up my own real estate company, and it's very successful. I'm about to open up another brokerage down in Miami. I'm going to try to recruit y'all.
Okay. Okay.
So it's adding on, and it kills me. Women say, you know, oh, she's there for the money or whatever, but that's very attractive. What woman don't want a man that has has it going
something
on.
Going for themselves.
Right. You don't want to go with somebody broke. Yeah. I mean, it's attractive to be with the king that has something going for themselves. So. Yeah.
Right. Especially when you have your own.
Exactly.
Right. You know, I do feel like it's always a question of, you know, what are you there for? Is that the only reason?
Right.
And like, no, because I love him. I love him down to his drawers. I love everything about him. You know, like, it's just like, that's my baby. Like, no, it's beyond that, you know? And I think that once they see that, then that's different. But, you know, maybe sometimes people that don't know you, you know, kind of feel like they can go there with it. Well, they judge you when they see us from the outside, you know?
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's all very pretty. You guys are all drop dead gorgeous.
That has a lot to do with it too. Right. I feel like if we look like, you know, some little
scalawags,
they wouldn't, you know, care. But I think because we do, you know, look the way we do, that they are extra, you know, like, you know,
wondering why or how.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna get it, I think, in the beginning, regardless, just because it's a man of value. I would go as far as to say any man of value, not just NFL. I would say that would go to a doctor or a high profile lawyer, any man.
I feel like the athletes get it.
Oh no, they get it. No. It's all relative. Though.
Okay.
But I'm saying I don't think that the woman is able to skirt over the fact of somebody looking at them and be like, oh, you're just in it for the money.
Right.
Because you have a lot of money because you're a high-profile lawyer or high-profile doctor.
I mean, but money do play a role in it. You don't want to get with anybody that's broke. You want to get with somebody that's on a level or the same level as you or higher because they elevate you.
Well, I will say this, though, which I guess takes me out of that, but nobody would know. I met Brandon in college, so he didn't have any money.
Right.
And even if I knew, which I didn't at the time, even if I knew if he was going to the NFL, that still is a whole lot of time.
Exactly.
To
you don't know.
Decide or choose elsewhere. So if you don't truly have good intentions, if you don't really love the person or like the person that you're dating, I think it's going to show up a lot sooner than marriage. Right. You know, like it's taken. I don't know, how did you guys all meet?
In the club. I know. I was in the club. I hate my story. I'm like, oh my God.
Where were y'all? What?
In Atlanta at Club Dreams. Oh. And I was a bottle girl. And he kept trying. I gave him a fake number. He sent over his wingman. He had a good wingman, though, I will say that. His wingman, his best friend. He did good because he was like, he's a good guy. You should really give him your number. I didn't give him my number. I gave him a wrong number. And then he came back to the club, the next weekend. And I wasn't working, so I was a little bit nicer. I had had a couple drinks, so I was a little more friendly. And then I gave him my number. And then we were inseparable after that.
Yeah. How long have you guys been together?
11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
Been married for 11 years?
No. Together 11, married 3.
What about you, Asia?
Oh, my goodness. We met my first job out of college, out of Howard. And one of my coworkers invited me to a movie premiere, a VIP movie premiere. And I came straight from work to the movie premiere. And I was late. And I remember, you know, Kelly Rowland was there. I was like, oh my God, Kelly Rowland's here. It was just star-studded. All the video vixens, they were saying all the women's names. And I was just, you know, coming to see the movie. My coworker invited me.
Mind my business.
You know, right. Yeah. And so little do I know, she was actually hooking up with his teammate at the time.
Okay.
So when I got there late, she had given up my seat to his teammate. So I had nowhere to sit. So I'm like, oh, really? That's what you did?
Y'all still friends?
Yeah, we are. Because it all worked out in the
end. It worked out in the end. Okay, you got a husband out of it. So.
Right.
Okay.
But so Channing was there, and I honestly wasn't even sure if he even liked me at first. How he approached me, he was so strong. It was just are you teasing me, or you like me, or...
Okay. I can totally see that from Channing, too.
Yeah, I can see
what's happening here? So he was like, where you going? What you doing? Where are you sitting? You know, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm with Mira. You know, here, I'm going over here. And so the movie's starting, and he's like, you know, you don't want to come sit with me? You don't have no seat. You want to come sit next to me? I was like, nah, you know. I watched the movie. The movie went. And after the movie, he's like, where are you going? What you doing? And I'm like, okay.
He was on you.
And I kind of said, I was so nervous. You know, looking back, I felt kind of insecure. You know, I had spent the whole day working and all these like beautiful women were there. I'm like, what does he want to do with me? You know, I didn't have my contacts in. I had my glasses on. I was like, oh, I was looking real. I just didn't get it. But
inner beauty.
Right. I guess he saw something. But so we went to he invited me to Lucky Strike afterwards, me and another coworker, because my other one left with her little friend. And so so we went to Lucky Strike and he literally like talked my ear off for like 2 hours.
I can see Channing doing
this. I think he does that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And I left feeling like he's sweet. Right. And he was talking about like his nieces and nephews, which I'm like, okay, you're talking about the little kids in your family, like that's cute. And he was a gentleman. He opened the door, like he walked me back to my car, and he called me like ASAP the next morning. Like he asked me where I was working, and I told him. And 9 a.m. he sent a text like, what are you doing for the week?
So sweet.
Oh, he really does like.
That's really cute. And how long have you guys been together? How long have you been married?
We'll be married 10 years. This year is year 10.
Oh, yay.
I know. So I'm like, what are we going to do?
Congratulations. What y'all going to do?
I don't know. He wants to do something. Look, I was like, let's just keep it, you know, cute and quiet. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, we should do something.
That's a celebration, girl.
It is.
And oh, my goodness. Mine is totally different from y'all. I feel like I'm aggressive.
Oh, no.
To y'all stories. So I slid in his DM.
Okay.
I tell everybody. We used to tell the joke was we met off Christian Mingle, but I actually slid in his DM with the little snowflake. Oh. No, I'm just. he was walking across the field, and he was always a crush of mine, like for years. Sexy, tall, chocolate, that thing. No, he fine.
You know what you want. Go ahead.
Yes. So, but we would run into each other during track meets, and I would see him. I didn't say anything, but I slid into his DM, and he responded like 2 seconds later. And we exchanged numbers. He FaceTimed me right away, and then we just started talking.
Oh, wow. Aww. Okay, worked out.
That was a couple of years ago. Okay. We were friends, and then I stopped talking to him. And then we rekindled last year.
Okay.
Oh. Well, that's the new dating now. Like, right. You have to slide into DMs.
You have to be assertive. You have to go after what you want.
How else you going to meet now?
I can't even imagine.
Just being a whole pandemic.
You can do it. So if you were single and you and Brandon, you wouldn't slide?
No, I don't have the patience or the I just don't have it. I don't know if I could. I'd probably just be single. I don't think I could do it.
Is it because of rejection? Not saying that you would get it rejected, but a lot of women say I can't do it because I'm afraid of being rejected. But
no, I'm not even on social media like that. Like I can't even deal with myself on there, much less a whole nother person. Like I don't think I could do it. And then to see people's stories and posts and shenanigans, like I just too much for me.
I think it's cool though, you know, as a woman to approach a man.
I've never been courageous enough to do it.
But I could see how it would be like a cool thing to do.
Well, let Bill tell it. He said I chose him the second time because I went up to him when I saw him in the club the second time.
Okay. To say hi.
Yeah. he was like, yeah, no.
Ego.
You was choosing. And I'm like, right. No, I wasn't. I remembered you. And I was, you know, feeling cute and friendly. So I said, hey. You still chose first.
And look at y'all. Almost, 11 years? That's good. Did you press your marriage on him? Like, did you want it? Most people want, okay, after 2 years, what a ring at?
Yeah. So, initially, no, I didn't. But once I had a kid, I did. Mm-hmm. And I think that came from, I come from a household with my parents. They're still together. They've been married for 30-something years. So, that's just all I knew. And I knew that marriage is something that I wanted. And I know that he doesn't come from, you know, a household with both his parents. So I don't think it was as important to him. And so, yeah, I definitely let him know that, look, I'm trying to be married, especially now that I have a kid. And this is how I want to bring up my child, our child. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say pressure. But I definitely was like, I'm Like, what are we doing? Like, if we're not moving towards marriage, then what are we doing?
I gave Brandon an ultimatum.
Yeah.
Because I had a job, and which was part, it was a start to my career at the time. I was working in mental health, and I had been promoted a couple times, and we were dating. And he was playing in Denver, and he wanted me to move out there. And I was like, okay, I will take a leave of absence from work for a set period of time. But when that's over, I'm going back home. Unless there's a commitment, I'm not moving in anywhere with you. And so that kind of was like, it's one or the other. Either you are committed and then I can make the decision to move with you. Like, you're not going to get the cow before you. What's it called? What's the saying? I haven't milk before the cow. Well,
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway,
like we know what you're talking
we
about.
We ain't doing that.
Have your cake and eat it too.
Right. I don't think it's pressure. It's like, you know what you want. This is this is not just your life. This is our life.
Well, I wasn't about to stop what I was doing for nothing. Yeah. Like, I mean, I had dreams that I was going to do. And then it eventually, you know, because of the career, because of his career, I took a back seat to some of the things that I wanted to do because it just didn't make sense, you know, for me. It didn't make sense for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I applied little light pressure, little innuendos, like, you know, little, hey, why don't...
Tana was ready to put a ring on a girl the moment he saw
right.
you.
Right. Day one, huh?
But
right.
I remember, like, we were spending a lot of time together, and at the time, I was living with my grandparents. So I was living with my grandparents in Opa-locka, and he would come pick me up, and sometimes, like, I would drive out to Davie because he had already owned his home when we met. You know, he was already in the league when we met. And so, you know, I'm taking these long weekends, and I'm living with my 89-year-old grandmother and my 91-year-old grandfather, kind of taking care of them because they couldn't drive anymore. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was like, you know, you're gone all the time. And I was like, I know, you know, I'd like to be with him. I don't know. Like, I didn't want to ask her if I could stay with him because mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, she would say no. And she was like, girl, you better go up there with your man. Don't let nobody else get CC. You better go up there with CC. Look, she was like, go. So once I got her blessing, we were living together maybe around 6 months. We were dating.
Oh, wow.
After a month of dating, he asked me to be his girlfriend.
So y'all were shacking.
We were shacking. And I really did have a problem with it. I think my mom was kind of concerned. Like, you know, this is your first time living with a man. You know, are you sure you want to take this step? You
think my dad found out we were shacking up. That was a whole thing.
But
my
thing was, if my grandparents were okay with it, and they're from a whole different generation,
right?
Because they loved him. I mean, they met him. It was a whole strange thing how they met, because I had introduced them to somebody that I was dating in college, and it went terribly wrong. They didn't like him. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this again. If I introduce them to somebody, like, it has to be like the one. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of putting off him meeting them. And one day I came home from work and his car was there. Mm-hmm. He had introduced himself. He had went into the house.
Oh, wow.
And chatted with them. When I walked in, they were all smiles. You know, I met your Cece. You know, like,
that's cute.
My grandmother was so excited. She loved him. So from that point on, like, whatever he wanted. It's like, you want to go up there and live with him? Go ahead and live with him. And once they said that, I was like, all right, well, we're
you got the blessing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're together now, so.
We have our chef coming in, and I know this is a table of
my
all
favorite
females.
Part.
So
yes.
As we're talking about women being in charge and everything, we have our chef delivering us some delicious food for the podcast today. So what do we have here?
So what it is going to be a seafood boil. It's going to have new potatoes in it. Green beans, baby corn, and also garlic bread as well.
Okay. Yeah. No
thank problem. You so much.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, Chef, let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you feel about Kamala Harris being elected VP?
I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great inspiration for women all over, especially women of color, especially through all the struggles and all the things that's just coming to light recently with a lot of the issues that women is dealing with. I think she gives a lot of inspiration to those that's coming up along.
Okay.
What do you think it does for the men who view her?
For the men who view her, I think it gives us a different perspective as well. A lot of time women are shown in a role of serving when she's in a role of leadership, and women can be strong leaders.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Get it together. Well, thank you so much.
All right, no problem. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
I'm so hungry.
I thought we had an oxtail.
So hungry. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah. So ladies, let's toast to our first I Am Woman podcast and our Vice President of the United States, yes. Kamala Harris.
Woo. Top tier. Yeah.
I swear the line was round the corner when she walked right in. High heels, short dress, he should've known right then. He walked over like, you the shorty I should be rocking. She told him, baby, I'm a job, you need to get clocked in. She next level, eyes full of pride, she won't settle. No brakes, so she hit the road, foot to the pedal. No days off.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.